Coming up on today's show.
While I'm down there bandaging somebody up in the snow on my knees as a ski patroller, I can also pray for them, and they don't even have to know about it. But it's between me and God and them.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. I would love to, quote-unquote, see you on social media interacting with me and this show through Facebook, Twitter, and or Instagram. There are links to all of those on catholicsportsradio.net. Speaking of social media, remember, too, about the Catholic Sports Radio community. That is the name of the Facebook group, which you can also find a link for on catholicsportsradio.net. As much as I encourage you to engage through one or more of those, always feel free to get in touch with me personally. You can email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net or even private message me through the Facebook page or the Instagram account. I love hearing from listeners of this show, so by all means, please feel welcome to use any of those methods to reach me. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. During the first round of the National Hockey League playoffs, the Tampa Bay Lightning were losing a game to the Toronto Maple Leafs, and head coach John Cooper wanted to take out starting goaltender Andrei Vasilevsky. But after the game, when the media asked him why he didn't, the coach said that the goalie didn't want to be taken out. In Major League Baseball, there are countless times that we see a manager go out to the pitcher's mound when his starting pitcher is struggling. There is a decision to be made about making a change and bringing a reliever in from the bullpen, yet oftentimes we will see the starting pitcher insist that he's fine and should be left in the game. How often do we find ourselves in situations like these in our daily lives, where we stubbornly stand our ground because we think we know what's best? In those times, we would be well served to step back to see what that decision is rooted in. We would do well to discern what Jesus would want us to do. In the New Testament, we read in John chapter 2 about the wedding in Cana. In verse 5, we read, quote, "His mother said to the servers, 'Do whatever he tells you,'" end quote. And that is what I'm referring to, advocating for facing Jesus and asking him, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a skier participating in downhill, cross-country, and water ski, as well as snowboarding. At the University of Michigan, she had competed in giant slalom, which followed her junior high and high school years when she ran the mile in track, half mile, and the 2 mile for a combined total of 6 years in track, including lettering in track and field. Plus, she even did 3 years on the swim team in junior high. She is a mom of a large Catholic family, yet still ice skates, swims, and hikes. She is also a blogger and the author of a book called God Made the Moonlight. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Erin Brostill.
Hi, Bruce.
Erin, thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
You bet, you bet. When you and I first started emailing each other, you said that you live in Columbus, Ohio, but we heard in the intro that you attended the University of Michigan. So where are you actually from originally? Where were you born and raised, and how many kids were you?
I'm from Midland, Michigan, originally, and I'm the oldest of two kids living, one in heaven. And my younger brother is 3 years younger than I am.
Okay. Well, yours is not the traditional story of being raised in a Catholic household with two parents who were both Catholic. Explain to the audience what I'm referring to.
That's correct. So my dad was Catholic and my mom was Episcopalian, and my mom was a Sunday school teacher for more than a decade. So my brother and I went to church with her mostly, and then sometimes in the summer we would go with my dad, kind of a mixed family, but primarily raised in the Episcopal Church.
Well, I want to transition towards sports, yet there's a story that you have that combines faith and sports that you say is a miracle you experienced at the age of just 5 years old.
Yes, that's right. My family put me on skis when I was three, downhill skis, and my mom was a ski instructor, so we all went pretty much every weekend in the winter in Michigan. And when I was five, she was teaching me how to ski, and I went up on a rope tow, but I had a really long scarf that she forgot to tuck inside my coat, and the scarf got wrapped around my neck and the rope tow, and it lifted me right up off the ground, and I was hanging there about 8 or 10 feet off the ground going, "Dad," and miraculously, my father, who had gotten off the rope tow before me and started to ski away quite a distance away, turned around and saw me, and he ran. I mean, the man ran in skis, ran over to me, grabbed me around the waist, yanked my scarf off my neck. "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yes." practically choking to death. And I mean, I could have died. I sort of feel like that was my very first experience of God's miraculousness in my life. And I've had several moments like that over the course of my life, but that was the first and earliest. And thank heavens he got me down. And when you're a little kid, it's very scary. But even realizing that there were no other adults around who could have reached me right then, it would have taken some doing. So that was an amazing moment in my life. I almost got hung up on the rope.
And audience, if you're like me, I got hung up just by her saying my family put me on skis when I was 3 years old. But Aaron, I'm glad that you went into the story that you did and that you're here to tell us about it. But I do wonder, you're saying it now as an adult, that that was the first sign of God's presence and what you might consider a miracle. But at 5 years old, does something like that ever cross your mind, or do your mom or do your dad say, "Thank you, God, this is a miracle," and bring their faith into that scene, or it's all in hindsight?
No, at the time, I mean, my parents were both very shaken up about it, and it was further proof for them and, you know, new proof for me as a five-year-old that, yes, the Lord is watching. The Father in heaven sent my own father back to get me, because that was pretty important right then.
Yeah, nicely said. You were ski racing recreationally in elementary school, and in junior high and high school were swimming and competing in track and field. Was there someone who inspired and or encouraged you to participate in sports?
Both my parents are pretty athletic, and they didn't compete in any kind of national level, but my mom was a ski instructor at Crested Butte back in the day, way back in the day. And they have always been very active. And so I think it was mostly them. And my younger brother also did all the things that I did, pretty much did tennis and track. And he ran cross country, actually, so longer distance than I did. And skiing in the winters, that's how you survive those cold Michigan winters. Get outside and find something fun to do. So,
which is the opposite of what some people might think. Isn't that the time to hibernate and stay inside and stay warm? And here's Aaron saying, "Let's go out and ski."
Let's go out. That's right.
Before we really dive into what's at the heart of your story today, having heard about being raised Episcopalian, what did your faith life look like at the point in your life when you were heading to the University of Michigan?
So as a freshman, let me back up. The Episcopal Church was already starting to fall apart in the 80s, and by that I mean they seemed kind of floundering, both their leadership and what they were teaching their teenagers and how they were running things. And my mom and I knew kind of that we were probably not going to stay Episcopalian, and it was very tragic for us, very emotional. And I went to the University of Michigan and looked around and thought, well, I could become anything. I mean, there's literally every religion and every cult on the street corners in a Big Ten university, including some I had never heard of before, like B'nai B'ris and the Zen Buddhists. And I mean, literally you could be anything. And I was walking around campus and I went to the Episcopal Church in Ann Arbor, and there were only two little old ladies in there who were 80 years old. And it was like the Holy Spirit had left the building. And I thought, no, I can't do this. So I was talking to God and walking around campus going, okay, Lord, where do you want me to go? Because you know, I hate wishy-washiness and I don't want to be a different denomination every week. Where am I supposed to be? And I finally, my travels and my steps took me to the Newman Center right off campus. And I went to Mass there and it was this indescribable feeling of being home. Mm. And I thought to myself, essentially, I'm Irish Catholic. I should, you know, continue the tradition, the heritage, the family. My one grandmother was Irish Catholic. My other grandmother, God rest her soul, was whatever denomination she kind of wanted to be that year. So she swapped around a lot. And I thought, yeah, the mat. And then I saw this, my film TA, young guy, brought his three little children to Mass. And that was when I knew that the church was growing, number one. And number two, if it's good for children, it's probably good for me too. I should listen to what's going on and figure out what my dad found so, you know, so special about the Catholic Church, because he didn't really talk about it that much when I was growing up. But he was just kind of the quiet, patient type. Mm. He's so happy that my mom and I both became Catholic when I was 19, and she came into the church the same year, and we both had separate but similar journeys to the Catholic Church. Mm. So.
Interesting, interesting. And folks, not only does Aaron's story continue on with another conversion to the Catholic faith, but as much as it sounds like her gift was skiing, her true vocation has been motherhood. If you've been listening regularly, you will recall that 3 weeks ago on episode 221, I asked who in the listening audience is the official Catholic Sports Radio statistician, who my scorekeeper is. And that was because I had said that unofficially, I felt that former NFL player John Chick, from back on episode 162 of the show, was probably the guest with the most kids. His wife was due with their 10th child at the time that he and I were recording that interview. Yet, Samantha Lamar, 3 weeks ago, checked in with 9, and now you're going to hear why Aaron Brostill is going to be entered onto that list too. But before I have her get into where in the Catholic Sports Radio standings she will fall in terms of number of kids, let me update you that this same day that Aaron and I are recording this is coincidentally the day that GoDaddy is charging me $33 for the one-year renewal of the CatholicSportsRadio.net domain name, as well as the domain privacy and protection. While that might not sound like much to some of you, it's just the latest example of an expense that I have to try to find a way out of my own pocket to try to cover, since I don't get any income from Catholic Sports Radio, nor do I have any sponsors. This is a ministry for me, and I'm just a one-person operation, so no staff, no interns, no volunteers. I try to detail exact costs as often as I can, so you know what I'm up against in keeping Catholic Sports Radio going on and off the air for what is more than 4 years now. Keep in mind that there's also the $20 that I get hit with every month from the podcast hosting and syndication provider. I was reluctant to pass this update along, but unfortunately, I will not be attending the National Religious Broadcasters Convention over in Orlando next week. You heard my appeal for help to cover the registration, and that did not bear fruit. But I will continue forward with the show nonetheless, answering God's call to use my time and talent to provide this resource for you. Meanwhile, if you do feel moved to support this ministry, thank you. And I invite you to join guests and listeners who have made a financial gift through the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. When you do so, not only will you get the option to type in whatever amount you're most comfortable giving, but it will also offer you the ability to type in a personal note for me to see. Alternatively, since some people are not comfortable putting credit card information on the internet, understandably so, I invite you to contact me through social media or email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with details on sending a check through the mail. As you've heard me do on other episodes of this show, I will happily say the name of anyone who sends something in, whether through the Donate to CSR button on catholicsportsradio.net or through the mail, or as some have asked me to do, you can choose to remain anonymous. I'm most sincere, really, when I say that it would mean so, so much to me if, as part of your continued tithing, you would consider helping me tackle the various costs that I face. I can't say enough how grateful I am for you listening to the show, for telling others about it, and for supporting the work that I do and using the mix of faith and sports to move more people closer to our Lord. Aaron, go ahead and end the suspense. Instead of waiting until the last question for me to ask you, let's have you reveal how many children you have, including the age range and the breakdown, boys and girls.
So my husband and I have been blessed with 8, and we have 5 girls and 3 boys. And because everybody loves our kids' names, it's just kind of an Irish thing. I'll go ahead and read them all off. Our oldest daughter, Moira, is 21. Henry's 18. Bronwyn is 17. Guinevere, who we call Gwenny, is 14. Rona is 12, soon to be 13. And then there's Hugh, who's 10, like Hugh Jackman, H-U-G-H. Annika is 8, and Hans is 5.
Wow. Wow.
So we morphed from sort of the Celtic names to the more Germanic and Scandinavian names, but it's just fun. We just loved naming our kids, and having them is such a blessing. I can't say enough how letting God plan your family is hard, yes, but it's worth it. And if I hadn't had my number 8 kid, I think my life in the last 5 years would have been much rougher. He's been just a godsend to our whole family. So
beautiful.
There you go.
Beautiful. 8 kids, ages 5 to 21. And folks, I mentioned to the episode from 3 weeks ago when I interviewed Samantha Lamar. During that conversation, she shared that it was only after the birth of her 9th child that she went into bodybuilding. And so Aaron, similarly, share with us about having 8 kids, yet getting yourself back in shape to ski every week, not to mention still ice skating, swimming, and hiking.
That's right. So I try to stay active like any busy mom, but I haven't done any really hardcore exercise in a long time because I've been pregnant a lot. And so finally, now that they're all out of diapers, I have the opportunity to go back to my most favorite sport in the world, which is downhill skiing. And instead of only skiing for 1 or 2 or maybe 3 days, if I'm lucky, a season, I'm going to start skiing once or twice a week.
Wow.
Now in the next, because I'm trying out for the National Ski Patrol, and I'm so excited. And there's a small place here in Ohio. It's called Mad River Mountain. It's owned by Vail, and it's thankfully only about 45-minute drive away, so I can go there for classes once a week, and I'm in the intense training for the ski patrol this year. I just decided to do it. So it's great. I feel called to this. I had a friend in high school who she and her older sister and both her parents were ski patrollers, and I got to hang out with them. And in fact, they're the ones who taught me how to snowboard as well. So I appreciated their sacrifice and their service to other skiers. And I love this sport so much that I want people to be comfortable on the slopes, but I also want to be able to help them. And then it occurred to me that God is really calling me to this, because when you're surrounded by, you know, accidents, or if you're an EMT or a paramedic or whatever, there's always somebody in the background, hopefully, who's praying for you in an accident, even if you don't know it. And we're all connected as human beings. And while I'm down there bandaging somebody up in the snow on my knees as a ski patroller, I can also pray for them. And they don't even have to know about it. But it's between me and God and them. And it's a calling. And I've always been kind of that prayer warrior type. Like, I have a long long-standing, you know, prayer conversation with God. Actually, he knows I kind of just never shut up. We just talk all day long. And sometimes I say the formal prayers, and sometimes we just talk. And I also need to learn how to listen more, which I'm working on in my middle-aged years here. Just listen, just relax, just be still and know that I am God. That is the quote that keeps coming back to me. And being still and sort of centering yourself. I feel the most centered and the most me when I'm on the ski slopes. And so I'm going back to it. And all my kids ski, thanks to my parents helping me give them lessons, and they've all been on skis. But having the opportunity to get them all out there with me, it's been really challenging. So as a ski patroller, I will have more opportunity to do that, and it will be a little bit easier. And I will probably still have at least 5 kids at home that can come to the slopes with me, and my husband skis also. He can take care of the little ones while I'm doing training, and then we can ski together as a family. So this is huge for our family.
But see, it doesn't surprise me to hear you talk about praying for somebody while you're attending to them, because I loved, and audience, did you catch it, that in the early part of that answer, Aaron, you mentioned sacrifice and service. And what a great perspective that is for someone to have, because I think most people, the overwhelming majority of people, would just view skiing as something recreational or something competitive, and they wouldn't see that there is an opportunity to sacrifice, right, which is Aaron giving up the desire to perhaps be competitive or just be recreational and do it. Hey, I need a break. I'm a mom of eight, and saying I'm going to sacrifice and be of service to my brothers and sisters in Christ, whether they know that I'm praying for them or not, but obviously also attend to their medical needs. I have to ask you, though, it's the end of May. How are you able to go to skiing lessons when presumably the snow is all gone where you live in Columbus?
Right, it is. But the preparation for ski patrol starts in March, and you have intense classes. And for us, it's April and May twice a week. Then they're giving us June and July off, so we get a little bit of a summer. And then starting in August, it is hardcore until November when you take the written test, and then you start the skiing testing and all the equipment testing that you have to get out on the hill. You have to practice with a toboggan, taking people down the slopes. You get to practice rescuing people from a chairlift. Chairlift evacuations. Oh, it's exciting. I've seen it done once. I've never actually had to be evacuated from a chairlift, but that's a process too. So we practice that before the season even starts in December.
I think, and
we get going that way.
As someone who has given birth eight times, it should come as no surprise that you are active in the pro-life movement. Can you give some details as far as what specifically you've done in that regard?
Yes. Again, mostly praying for people. I've done some sidewalk praying. I have friends who are sidewalk counselors who go through training to counsel women in need, and I've helped out with some crisis pregnancy centers, some fundraising, diaper drives, because it isn't just having the baby, of course. It is supporting the woman and the family and the dad and the grandparents as they have this journey of childbirth and beyond. And so we do a lot of things for people in need. One of my friends at church started baby showers for people who really didn't have family around to experience the joy of, hey, we want to support you having this baby, so we're going to get you things that you need, like towels and clothes for the baby and shampoo and basic things. But it means so much to people in crisis. And even if, hopefully, if they're not all in crisis, but they still need the emotional support of having a baby and starting a family and continuing their family. So I'm obviously very passionate about that. And every chance I get, I will either speak about it or fundraise or help people. I have several mom friends also who have special needs kids, and it's a whole spectrum of issues. It isn't just conception. It's from conception till natural death, and also people who have medical challenges and special needs kids that are really needy. Supporting all of those families is being pro-life.
I'm going to put these both in the form of a question, but I believe that you have also participated in March for Life. And do I understand, did you go to Washington, D.C.?
I did, yes. I was there with my oldest daughter in 2019. That was a very interesting trip. It was great. And I've had at least two kids now, two high school kids, attend the March for Life with or without me. And I recommend it for everybody, although thankfully now we're no longer protesting Roe versus Wade. But now we do state-to-state, you know, education of people and understanding that this really is the issue of our time. Without children, we have no future. And so I think people sometimes do forget that in all the hustle and bustle of modern-day life. Not everybody is called to have a family. Not everybody will get to experience having a family. There's a lot of people with infertility and health issues. So it isn't just like you can demand a baby whenever you want it. It just doesn't work that way. Even with modern medical science, you don't get to call the shots. God does. And it's a hard thing for some people to accept and kind of be humble about. But I want to help people realize that it's a gift. And you don't want to get to heaven and stand in front of Jesus and have him say, I wanted to give you these gifts of children, and you said no.
Wow. Wow.
And once I realized that, it changed my whole outlook on my own growing family, because it was daunting for my husband and I to have so many kids back to back to back. But I'm healthy, so I always gave thanks for my health and my previous sports life, actually, so being able to give birth to eight kids. But I don't want Jesus to say, I wanted to give you this, and you said no.
Yeah, that's powerful. That's powerful. Just back up and clarify for me. So the March for Life, was that in Columbus, Ohio, and what you went to Washington, D.C. for was like to literally lobby lawmakers? Or is it, no, Bruce, the March for Life was in Washington?
No, it's the, there are more than one March for Life in the country, but there's a big one in Washington, D.C. every year. And there's also one on the West Coast, March for Life West Coast in California. But I went to the one in Washington, D.C., and it's to witness to life and not necessarily, I don't consider it a protest because it's such a joyful occasion that you see all these young people and they're excited about potential families or just the potential of children in their lives. Maybe they're, you know, sisters or cousins or, you know, they're not all necessarily married, especially not the younger kids at 15, 16. But they go and they support their families and other people's families. That's a great thing to witness.
Yeah, nicely said, nicely said. And folks, again, I never know who's been with me a long time, who is just starting into Catholic Sports Radio for the first time. If this is your first episode, or I guess I can say if it's your second episode, I'm going to refer you back. If you're big on pro-life and want to hear about others talking about the pro-life movement and efforts being made in that regard, go back 2 weeks to episode 222, Dr. Kevin Cummings. He is actually a deacon, and he talked about something called Deacons of Hope and what they are doing as it relates to the pro-life movement. So just navigate back 2 weeks to episode 222 to hear that. Aaron, I want to make sure to give you a chance to talk about your book, which I mentioned in the intro is called God Made the Moonlight. Go ahead and share about that, if you would.
Yeah, it's my very first book. It's a children's book for ages 0 to 5, so it's a read-aloud, kind of like Goodnight Moon. And it's on Amazon. And I wrote it when I was nursing my fifth child, and I was up a lot at night with these kids. I've had more sleep deprivation than the Marines, I'm convinced. But I was up a lot, and I was writing this children's book, and it took me 9 years to get it published. Mm. And the art by my friend Jeannie Egolf is beautiful. It's watercolor designed art, and it's not an ugly book. If you go to Barnes & Noble lately, there's been a lot of really ugly children's books. So I'm going to put in a plug for mine because Jeannie's art is wonderful. And it's a story of a little girl's journey to her grandparents' house over the summer, and she's watching the moon. And so it's also a good book for if you're moving with your kids and you want to understand the presence of God through nature, and the moon is always smiling down on you. It's like God's little gift to you at night. And I wrote it from the perspective of like my childhood self, looking up in the trees, driving at night, and going different places, and just realizing that the moon is always there. It's as constant as the Lord. So that's the message of the book. It's an ecumenical book. It's not a specifically Catholic book, but of course it kind of is because it's, you know, from birth to realize that God loves you and he's always there for you. So,
you mentioned grandparents in there. Mm-hmm. Do I understand that your grandparents were skiers also?
No, my parents are now grandparents of 8 and they still ski in their 70s.
Ah, okay. Okay. Wow.
My other grandparents, I lost both my grandfathers when I was very young, and I don't think either of them skied much. And yeah, not so much, no. But my parents were very avid skiers.
Well, as we close, there's still one more conversion story that needs to be told. Tell us about your years in the Sacrament of Holy Matrimony and why I'm bringing up conversion.
Yeah, so my husband and I are both converts. So Kent became Catholic after the birth of our first child, our daughter Moira, and he went through RCIA, and we met some very wonderful people through that, and he was Lutheran before. And he came to it very intellectually through reading books and many discussions and paying attention in Mass and kind of asking questions. And then, you know, being a convert is not easy. Struggling with some of those, the harder questions, sometimes it takes years and you just have to kind of be patient with yourself and realize that God will give you the gift of understanding when you need it, and you're not going to understand all things at once. That was really a revelation to me. Now, at one point, I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying to me, Aaron, you don't have to understand purgatory. You know that there's heaven and hell, and you also know that there's kind of heaven and hell on earth. There's people that go through horrible things on earth and joyful things on earth, and all you have to understand is that God created it. And if, you know, if God says there's purgatory and it's in the Bible, then probably there's some things there that you can discover later, and you don't have to know it all at once. Just realize that there's more than meets the eye. And that was comforting to me at the same time. I was learning the St. Gertrude's Prayer, which is all about the holy souls in purgatory at the time. And I had very young kids. And so I would go to the local park and sit on the swing set and pray the St. Gertrude's Prayer. And now it's become a part of my daily life. St. Gertrude and St. Michael, my patron saint. And we're praying. And here's a little English tip for you, since I'm such an English editor. We pray with the saint, not to the saints. There's a big difference in that one tiny little word. They are our friends in heaven. They are our family sometimes in heaven. And we pray with them to Jesus for his intercession, because we can't do anything without him. Even St. Michael can't do anything without the power of God. So, important little side note. I should be like explaining that, since I am a convert. I think sometimes the converts really delve deeply into some of these Catholic issues, and maybe we can explain it better than people who've been in the church their whole life and don't know how to explain it. So I hope that helps somebody out there.
Yeah, nicely said. Nicely said. And folks, I'm going to put a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to Erin's website, so you can see more about all that she does as an author and an editor, and engage with her through her website if you so choose. But Erin, in the meantime, wow, so wonderful to have you on Catholic Sports Radio. Thank you for finding time away from your 8 children and for the work that you do as a Catholic author and editor. I really enjoyed it, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you, Bruce. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And as a nod to the active life as an athlete that Erin has continued to lead, let us close this week's episode with an athlete's prayer, and do it together, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Help me to play the game, dear Lord, with all my might and main. Grant me the courage born of right, a heart to stand the strain. Send me a sense of humor, Lord, to laugh when victory is mine, to laugh if I should meet defeat without a fret or whine. Give me the grace to follow rules, to fess up when I'm wrong, when silence or some other thing wins plaudits from the throng. When foes are tough and fighting fierce and I am getting weak, dear God, don't ever let me show a broad, bright yellow streak. And teach me, Lord, life's game to play just one day at a time. With thee as coach and trainer, Lord, real victory must be mine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, Erin. And folks, thank you so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at CatholicSportsRadio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose. Thank you.